Romans chapter 3. Verse 3 says this, Romans 3, verse 3, for what if some did not believe? For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What if some did not believe the Bible? The revelation of God, the revelation of His true character and glory, the revelation of His purpose in Christ Jesus. What if some did not and do not believe that? Shall their unbelief make the faithfulness of God to His Word, to His Son, to His covenant, without effect? Will your unbelief in any way, mine, the whole world for that matter, will our unbelief in any way affect the program of God? That's what he's asking. What if some, many, most, do not believe? Shall their rebellion, their unbelief, and their error make void the purpose of God Almighty, the covenant of a great eternal God? Does that make it void? What if the so-called great minds of this world, they say, well, the scientists don't believe what you believe. Where are the rulers? Where are the legislators? Where are the professors, teachers? What if the so-called great minds do not believe, the rulers of this world do not believe, the scientific community does not believe, the religious leaders do not believe? What if they do not believe? Shall their unbelief defeat the eternal will of God? Shall it? Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to some scriptures. I read in the scriptures, this is what I read in the Word of God, that the living God, and that's what David called him. Turn to Genesis 18. David said, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so panteth my soul after the living God. The living God, the true God, he's called, as opposed to gods and idols and heathen deities. Our Lord said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. And I read in the scriptures, I read in the Word of God, and what other source do you have for a revelation of God? I read in the scriptures that the eternal living God of heaven and earth is absolutely, unchangeably sovereign in all his ways. Now that's what I read. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God announced to Abraham, well up in years, and Sarah, past the age of bearing children, that they would have a son. And the scripture says, verse 12, that Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, my husband, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for your God? Turn to Exodus 33. Let's see what he said to Moses here. Exodus 33. Upon Moses asked God, he said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Reveal unto me the glory of God. And God said in verse 19 of Exodus 33, he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be merciful. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's my glory. God said, I'll be gracious to whom I will, and I'll show mercy to whom I will. Let's read over in Isaiah 45. This is what I read in the Scriptures. And I'm just picking out a few. It's all the way through the Word of God. The same message, the same declaration of His omnipotence. He's all-powerful. His omniscience. He's all-present. He's all-knowing. And His omnipresence. He's all-present. God is God. Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. But Isaiah 45 says this, verse 5. Listen, I'm the Lord, and there's none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, and from the west is none beside me. I am the Lord, there's none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. Let it be done. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work? He hath no hands. Turn to Isaiah 46 now. Let's read over here in Isaiah 46. Now, beginning with verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I'm God, there's none else. I am God, there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I've purposed it, I'll do it. And that scripture I read in Daniel, when King Nebuchadnezzar, he said his understanding and reason returned to him. And this was the conclusion he came to. He said, I bless the Most High God that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? Turn to Romans chapter 9. This is what I read in the Bible. This, you know, all these churches and denominations and preachers say the Bible is our foundation. We believe the Bible, we preach the Bible, we walk according to the Bible. Bible is our rule of faith. Is it? Romans chapter 9, verse 11. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said to her, to Rebekah, the mother of these twins, the elder shall serve the younger. That's backwards. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? God forbid. He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he'll harden. Thou wilt say then unto me, well, why doth he yet find fault? Who can resist his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why have you made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted, made up for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared unto glory. Even us whom he hath called, not of Jews only, but also the Gentiles. Turn to Ephesians 1. This is what I read in the scriptures. This is Almighty God revealing himself in the scriptures. In Ephesians 1, you know this, so you're so familiar with this passage. Let's just begin at verse 9. Ephesians 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He worketh what? All things after the counsel of his own will. Now that's what I read in the scriptures. And like I say, we could just start at Genesis and go all the way to Revelation and see the sovereignty and the power and the will of Almighty God. God is almighty. But this is not what I'm hearing today from the pulpit. This is not what is being preached by the leading religionists of this day. This is not what our preachers in America and around the world are preaching. I hear a different God. I hear a different God preached. I hear an impotent God. I hear them talking about a God who wills to do certain things, but he's not able. Isn't that right? That's what I hear. I know my hearing's bad, but I've got two $500 hearing aids, and I pick up most of it. I hear preached a God who wills to do certain things, but he is not able because men will not let him. Isn't that what I hear? Men do not believe. Paul asked the question, what if some do not believe? Will their unbelief make void the program of God, the purpose of God, the faith of God? That's what I'm hearing preached, that God wills to do these things and he can't because they won't let him. The God that I hear preached today and I read about never was in control. He wasn't in control when Adam fell. That slipped up on this God I hear preached today. Where was God when Adam fell? They indicate that he never was in control, or somewhere down the line he lost control of the universe. Did your God lose control of the universe? Well, the God I hear has lost control. He made all things good and beautiful and perfect, but something happened beyond his control. someone came on the scene. Someone's will was forced into this good, perfect, and beautiful creation, and God lost control. He lost his grip on things. Somewhere down the line, Satan and men messed up God's beautiful plan. And now God wants it back. That's what they tell me. God wants it back. And he keeps making various offers to men. He keeps making various offers to men to let him run things again. Isn't that what I'm hearing? God has a beautiful plan. Won't you let him work it? God's trying to get back in control. Is this not what they're saying? I hear people, preachers say this. I heard this on this television station out here by a preacher that was preaching out Rose Hill. And he said, this is election. God loves you and votes for you. The devil hates you and votes against you. And you have the deciding vote. Now, that puts God in a minority. That's 2-1. Me and the devil are 2-1 against God. And he has no power. He can't do one solitary thing about it. He loves me. He wants to save me. But I got 2 votes against him. And that wins. That may win with your God, but not the God of the Bible. And then I hear this. Give God a chance. You mean Almighty God operates by chance? When did he start operating by chance? He talks here in the scripture I read about purpose and counsel and will declared from the beginning. I hear him say this, let go and let God have his wonderful way. Does God Almighty wait for you to let him go and let him have his way? What kind of God is this that they're preaching? Well, it's an impotent God. It's a powerless God. And there's no fear of God before their eyes because the God they've created is not worthy of fear or worship. God said, is my arm short that it cannot save? Is my ear heavy that I cannot hear? Can I not do with my own what I will? That's the God of the Bible. I hear him say, God has no hands but your hands. Well, how do you make the universe, for crying out loud? God has no feet but your feet. Is God disabled? That sounds like a disabled God to me, not only impotent but disabled. He has no hands and no feet. Then how does he walk about through the universe? How does he command the lightning and the rain and the snow? I hear them say, well, God needs you. God needs you. Uncle Sam may need you, but God doesn't. God needs you. He needs your talent. He needs your time. He needs your tithe. Then why did he say, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you? If he needs me, why did he say the cattle on 1,000 hills is his and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? I don't need a God who needs me. That's the last thing I need on this earth in this life is a God who needs me. Preachers say salvation's up to you. But the Bible says salvation's of the Lord. I know I read that in Jonah 2:9. Salvation is of the Lord. I read in the Psalms 2 or 3 times, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. But the preacher says it's up to me. Somebody's lying. It's a shame to call preachers liars, but that's what they are. Preachers say we're saved by our own free will. And I just read a moment ago, God said it's not of him that willeth. God said it's not. It is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. It says we're not born of the will of the flesh. We're not born of the will of man. We're born of God. That's what God saith. say, you're getting excited now. Well, it's enough to excite me. I don't understand. There's a contradiction here. And nobody's rising up and talking about it. Nobody's rising up and challenging anybody. There's a horrible contradiction between today's God and this God. And people just sit and bear it, grin and bear it, and put up with it. There's a great contradiction between the message of the pulpit and the message of the Bible, and I'm amazed that some intelligent human being in this generation, this town, doesn't question some preachers. I'm amazed. If Ron Traband over at Paul Blazer High School in the morning started teaching that the world was flat, you parents would be up in arms and going over there and want to lynch him. Wouldn't you? And yet a preacher stands in the pulpit and denies a holy God, lies on a holy God, tells your young people this, that, and the other that's not in the Word of God, and everybody just says, well, bless his heart. It wouldn't bless your heart. You'd get fired. Turn to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 38. There's some fellas, three fellas, sitting around talking to a man named Job. And they were popping off about God. Job was too, the whole outfit, popping off about God. And the Lord spoke. And he asked Job about 70 questions. Over 70 questions. I'm going to read some. I want you to take your Bible. Now, this is God speaking. In chapter 38 of Job, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, in plain, everyday southern Ohio and eastern Kentucky language, that's, who's this popping off about things he doesn't know anything about? That's what who's this popping off about something he doesn't know anything about? Gird up now your loins like a man, God said, and I will demand of thee, and you answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now declare if you have any understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if you know? Tell me about creation. You know so much about God and about all these spiritual things. Tell me about creation. Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone of this universe? This is God asking Job and his friends some questions. Now, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof in thick darkness as a swaddling band for the ocean and break it up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shall you come. Do you know that most of this world is water, seas, oceans? But it's held in its bank? To shake this earth and send tidal waves over this world would destroy all land. But God said, where were you when I gave the sea its designated place and put a swaddling band around it and doors about it and said, you can't come a foot further? Who did all that? God did. But I have him standing outside some sinner's heart door tapping on it to see if he'll let him in. Verse 11, hitherto shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. I'm talking about the oceans and the seas. The mighty oceans with their mighty waves and 3 or 4 miles deep. And God said, just came. You just come right here and you stop. That's my God. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the dawn to know his place? the exact rising of the sun and setting of the same, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wickedness of evil might be shaken out of it, the wickedness of darkness. It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea? Where'd the water come from? Have you walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto you? Have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? What control do you have over that? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare it if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Explain light and darkness. That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the path to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born? That how you got all your information? When I made all this, were you born? Or because of the number of thy days is great? How great are the numbers of your days? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Have you seen the treasures of the hail? Which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. By what way is light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning or thunder? Who causes it to rain on earth where no man is? That's a good question, isn't it? Or on the wilderness where there's no man, to satisfy the desolate and the waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? Who hath given that birth? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? That's the cluster of stars or the zodiac. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or can you guide Arcturus with his suns? Let's talk about the stars, the cluster of stars, the so-called signs of the stars. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that the abundance of waters may cover you? Can you send lightning that they go and say to you, here we are, send us where you will? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given the understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Who can stay the bottles of heaven? Who can pour out the torrents of rain? When the dust grows hard and the clods cleave fast together, will you hunt the prey for the lion? Will you fill the appetite of the young lions when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who hath provided for the raven his food when his young ones cry unto God they wander for lack of meat? Do you know that, watch this now, do you know the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Can you mark the time when the hinds do calve, when they give birth to their young? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Do you know the time when they'll bring forth, they bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows? The young calf or the goat or the horse, their young ones are strong in good liking. They stand up and walk a day or two after they're born. They grow up with corn. They go forth and return not unto them. Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass, whose house I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling? Who takes care of all these animals and birds and teaches them to build their nest and to give birth to the young and provide for their young? Who gives the horse his strength so quickly and a little baby has to be nursed for 6, 8, 10 months? Verse 7, he scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth he the crying of a driver or the range of the mountains, his pasture, the wild donkey. He scorneth, searcheth after every green thing. Will the unicorn, that is the wild ox, will he be willing to serve you or abide by your crib? Can you bind the wild ox with his band in the furrow? Can you make him plow the valley for you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Will you leave your labor to him? Will you believe him that he'll bring home your seed and gather it in the barn? Did you give the goodly wings to the peacocks, wings and feathers to the ostrich, which leaves her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, the wild beast may break them? She's hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor's in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom. I'm telling you, this God, the living God, ruleth and overruleth all things. He's asking Job these questions. God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and the rider. Have you given the horse strength, Job? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you make him afraid of a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He poeth in the valley, he rejoiceth in his strength, he goeth out to meet armed men. He mocketh after fear, he's not afraid, neither turneth his back, he back from the sword. Can you give him that kind of strength and fearlessness? The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield, and he swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder, the captains, and the shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom? Stretch her wings towards the south. Who tells her to go south? She dwelleth and abideth. Does the eagle mount up at your command? Verse 27, and make her nest on high. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock. Upon the crag of the rock, a strong place, from thence she seeketh the prey, her eyes behold afar off, her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there she is. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Well, I tell you, that just takes the strength out of me. Who am I? And these preachers, these spokesmen, these religionists, picturing God as an impotent God and a powerless God and way off yonder somewhere who's left creation and gone off somewhere and just let this thing run its own course. Everything, every drop of snow he sends, every flake of snow, every drop of rain to the ocean controls all of it. And Job answered the Lord, and he said, behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I'll not answer. Twice, but I'll proceed no farther. Gird up your loins now. Then God answered, verse 6. One more time. Listen, let me read a few more. God answered Job by the whirlwind. He said, gird up your loins now like a man. I'm going to demand of you, and you declare unto me, wilt thou disannul my judgment, my covenant, my purpose? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? Is that what you're going to do? I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I did it myself. I earned my way. You going to do that? You're going to condemn God that you may be righteous. You're going to condemn God that you may get some kin folks into the kingdom of God. You're going to disannul my judgments, disannul my, and condemn me. Have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like God? Deck yourself with majesty and excellence. Array yourself with glory and beauty. I tell you, we have to literally clean up and bathe twice a day and buy all the perfume Avon can produce and wash our clothes. We fight this thing to look decent. And God talks about deck yourself with majesty. step out in the excellency and array yourself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of your wrath. And behold, everyone that is proud and abase him. Let's see you do that, God says. Look on everyone that's proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. We can't even stop drugs from coming in this country, let alone stop evil. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in secret. And then, God said, will I confess to you that your own right hand can save you. That's it, isn't it, Mike? You do that. You just do that. Just that one thing that God does. Array yourself in beauty and excellence and majesty and glory. And stop the flood tides of evil. And say to the proud, be abased, and to the haughty, be brought down. And God said, then I'll confess you can save yourself. All right, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've got a whole nation of preachers and so-called theologians. They're taking our young men into these seminaries, and they're training them to deny God. They're training them to lie on God. They're training them to present an emotional, sentimental, impotent God. Isn't that right, John? What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to do what Job did. Let's see what Job did. Job 42. When you get home, you can read the rest of that chapter 41. I'm going to do what Job did. Verse 1 of chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do everything. God can do everything. And I know this, that no thought can be withholden from thee. In other words, no thought or purpose of yours can be stopped. You look that up and see if that's not what that's saying. Job said, I found out two things. You can do everything. And nothing you decree or purpose can be stopped. My friends, 40 years ago, 1950, is when I heard this gospel, this God, purpose, that one word, purpose. I know you can do everything, and I know nothing you purpose can be defeated. Verse 3, you said to me, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? That's what you said to me. Who is this that darkens and obscures counsel by words without knowledge? That's what you said to me. Therefore, I now see. I uttered things I didn't understand. I uttered things I understood not. Things too wonderful for me. This is what we're doing. And it's not only the older folks, it's young people, it's teenagers. It's fellowship of Christian athletes. It's boys and girls in junior high school. They've all got something to say about God. They've all got their ideas of God, their opinions of God, and they're hasty to utter it. It doesn't matter who it is. Without understanding, without knowledge. Their mouths will just belch forth all of this, God's this and God's that, and I believe God this and God that. They don't have any hesitancy to speak about God. And he said, you said to me, who is this? Who is this? Who is this that darkens counsel without knowledge? And therefore I confess, I have uttered things I didn't understand. And things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Verse 4, I virtually said to you what you said to me. Here I beseech thee, and I'll speak. You remember back in the early part of Job, he said that to God? He said, you hear me and let me speak. Now he said, you said the same thing to me. You hear me and I'll speak. I'll demand of you, and you declare unto me, this is what I said to you, and now you're saying it to me. Here I beseech thee, I will speak. I'll demand of you, where were you when I did this? Well, verse 5, I've heard of you. By the hearing of the ear, And now mine eye seeth thee.
You know, it's one thing to, that's hearsay. I heard someone say. I heard them say these things about God. Now I see God in His majesty. I see God in His power. I see God in His might. I see God in His glory. Now I see something. It's not hearsay anymore. I see Him. Now what's the response? Wherefore?
I hate myself. My weakness is
made glaringly obvious before His power. My wickedness is so obvious before His holiness. My shame is so exaggerated before His glory. And I repent.
I repent in dust and ashes.
That's what must be done. Paul said, I preach two things, repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. My generation has got to come down off their high horse, their pedestal of self-righteousness and so-called dignity and wisdom and knowledge, and everybody's an authority on spiritual matters. Even if you turn on your television, I told Iris the other day, I saw some woman on there, 20 years ago, she'd have been considered a harlot, the way she was dressed, and the way her hair was, and those long earrings down to her shoulders, and paint. She looked like a painted wall, and she's up there popping off about God. That's right, 20 years ago. But this generation sits and listens to those brainless, godless, heathen who know nothing about God's Word. And they quote Scripture. They'll go over here and find one, over there and find one. They don't dare set a course and start through that Scripture and read it.
Well, Job said, I hate myself. I'm coming down in the dust, falling before a holy God. Now, we're going to meet Him here in the dust of repentance. And we're going to meet that God at the judgment. Is He defeated? Not for a moment. Not for a moment.
And He's going to get glory out of everybody here, either in His mercy or His justice. We're going to be instruments of His purpose and His glory. He's God. That's right. I'm going to continue this tonight because this is imperative. This is where it all starts. It's where He started with Job. Now you gird up your loins like a man. I got some questions. Read those 70 questions again. It just does something for me. I just want to glorify Him. Kind of slip out the back door, don't you? Say, Lord, if it
be Your will and glorifying to You and pleasing in Your sight, show mercy to me. Don't pass me by. Peanut. I'm a peanut. I'm nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I sure would like to see that glory. I'd like to see it. All right, let's sing a hymn.
Mike, you got one there. Stand up and bless the Lord. That's it. It's number 33. Number 33. We'll sing it to that other tune. Number 33.